So what's really cool about being on staff or in leadership in some ways is that it is a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time and a lot of energy. And we pay some of them, but not all of them. But they love what we do around here. But what's so cool about that is when you're in leadership, you get a chance to see a lot of cool stories, a lot of fun things that happen around here that if you just come on Sunday mornings, you know, if you're just a part of some of the basic stuff that we do, we don't get to see that. Now, we try really hard to celebrate with you the things that we've been successful in, the wins that we've had around here. We try to continue to have stories up here to help you see, you know, all the things that we're doing. But what I wanted to do is take a quick look back at 2015 to give you an insight into what we've been up to around here in 2015. So we're going to look over budget stuff. We're going to look over attendance stuff. We're going to look over all those basic things that we normally do during Vision Sunday. But I just want to share a bunch of the wins that we've had around here. So we're going to kind of go ministry by ministry. We're going to be looking at them section by section, just to look back at the things we've been doing. We're going to look at children's ministry first. One of the best things we started last year, 2015, for children's ministry was our JUMP programming. You met Kristen up here. JUMP programming is Jesus, Use Me, Please. On Sunday mornings, you bring your children to Hope Summit Christian Church. You drop them off in our children's ministry programming. And it's a lot of learning about God and learning to fall in love with Jesus. And this is it's a lot of intake for the kids. Okay, it's a lot of packing in God's Word and helping them get excited about what God has for their life. It's a very learning environment. What are they taking away so they can know God? Well, we wanted to have a Wednesday night programming for our children's ministry, but we wanted it to look a little bit different. Okay, again, we could just pack in more, and kids are sponges, right? I mean, they learn so quick, so fast. They can learn all kinds of stuff, but we decided to kind of take a different approach in ministry. We wanted them to have a lot of intake on Sundays, but be able to outtake a little bit. Now that I know that Jesus loves me, what can I do in response to that? And so we started Jesus, Use Me, Please. Children come in here, and they do service projects for people. People in our community, sometimes for people in our church, but we really want to help teach our children to serve. We want to teach our children that they can make an impact on people's lives, not just now, but as they continue to grow, that's what God wants us to do, to love other people. So one of my favorite things that they've been doing is, for one project, they made blankets for the Ronald McDonald House. Okay? That was really cool because my daughter, at one point, she was sick, and she had to spend the night in the hospital, and it was around Halloween, and I remember she got this Betty Boop doll that was, like, dressed in a pumpkin. Okay, I remember thinking the thing was kind of weird and kind of ugly, okay, but you remember that thing, don't you? But she cherished that thing. She cherished this doll. She didn't know who Betty Boop was, and if we saw that in the store, she would not have wanted it at all. Okay, but because it was a gift to her in a difficult time in her life, she cherished this thing. Just put yourself into the mindset of what a kid is facing when they have to go stay at the Ronald McDonald House. What kind of fears they're, you know, what kind of surgeries they're going to have to go. What kind of diagnosis they might end up with. Some of these kids are finding out for the first time that they have cancer. I mean, this is a traumatic point in their life, and it's amazing how a simple blanket goes a long way. These kids, they get to come in, they get this blanket, and then they get to take it home. Okay, this is a blanket that they keep. And it's something that they cherish with them. It's something that they cuddle with and provide comfort. And it gives them a little bit of comfort. So it's just a cool way for our kids to serve. They also make these little breakfast bags for them. Sometimes these kids have to get up real early, and they miss breakfast. So they make these breakfast bags they get to take with them, like an Old Mars and stuff like that. And little encouraging notes, that kind of stuff. So that was some of the cool things they do. Another one of my favorite stories was they had a team, it was called the Beat It team. They made things out of beads. And they made these beaded butterflies. And then they took them over to this group called Damascus Way. Damascus Way is a halfway house for guys who are getting out of prison and getting kind of back up on their feet so that they can get jobs and all that kind of stuff. It's a halfway house for guys out of prison. And I remember thinking, okay, you took beaded butterflies and you brought them to a bunch of ex-cons? I remember thinking, well, okay, and I'll tell you what, man, you got to go to the truck. They freaked out. They loved them. It was like their response was something that I would have never ever thought of. But they loved it. They were there freaking. They enjoyed it so much. Some of them made gifts to give back to the kids. It was really cool, this little community, you know, the connecting with guys in a simple, with beaded butterflies, right? And made an impact on these guys. And our kids got to see these pictures of these ex-cons lit up because they got these butterflies. Like, it's just a really cool opportunity to teach our kids to serve. I want to challenge you, man. Like, this is a pitch for you. This is a commercial for you. If you have children, this is worth your time. This is worth their time. Help them learn to love and to serve others in simple ways. They are sponges. They are watching. They are learning. And this is something that's going to stick with them for the rest of their life. If this is important enough that we spend a whole night serving, this is going to become a part of their DNA. You want your kids involved with this, okay? I say that because we have a lot of great volunteers, and we have lots of room. We do. We have lots of room for more kids on Wednesday nights. Bring them. It's worth some extra driving for them to be a part of that, okay? So that's one part of children's ministry. Another great part of children's ministry is something called Kids Camp. Maybe some of you grew up having like VBS and that kind of stuff. It's kind of our version of that. It's a summer programming for kids. We really try to outreach into our community and make this something that kids in our neighborhood can come to, want to be a part of. And it's no small order. It takes 80 volunteers to make sure that Kids Camp happens. And last year, that's when we had 80 volunteers. So I'm so thankful for you. You guys helped be a part of that and make it happen because you gave your time and your energy. Over 120 students came in and they heard the simple news about Jesus Christ. Mandy said this is one of her favorite Kids Camps that they had because it was a message which is so simple, so clear about the love of Jesus for you. And Bubblegum Billy, if some of you remember that, Bubblegum Billy, you know, the bad guy, he got baptized. He got saved. He got baptized. Remember that? So it was just a great little story. I was caught in that Jeff and I got slimed because they raised a bunch of food. They brought in a bunch of food for the food pantry and stuff. So it's just a great event. Again, something that you want to be a part of. It's really cool to be here and be involved with those kids in that way. Again, kids in our community, some of these kids, you don't go to church. Your parents don't bring them to church. They send them to us. And it's our chance to tell them about Jesus. Another favorite thing about children's ministry that happened last year was our growth in our volunteers. When I came back in late 2014, the children's ministry was pretty bare bones when it came to volunteers. There were some volunteers that were serving both services because there was such need for volunteers because we had so many kids coming. And I'm really happy to say that since when I came here to now, we have added 25 volunteers to our children's ministry regular Sunday morning stuff. Now that's huge. That is huge, and it is worth celebrating because these kids, when they come in, this is their chance to hear about Jesus. But not just that, when our children's ministry is serving well, the parents are able to have a safe place for their kids so that mom and dad can come in and they can hear about Jesus Christ and the love that he has for them. And that's really, really important. And we've been really focusing on this last year on making sure that our children's ministry is safe, that it's secure. So we've been making a bunch of changes. I'm very excited for what's coming. We're adding in some electronic check-in. So we're going to be changing the way we check people in. I know it would be great to have a church where like the volunteers just know the parents, and the parents just know the volunteers, and everyone just kind of knows each other, and the kids can go in and out, and it's fine. But guys, we plan on growing. We plan on having more people come in, and as more people come in, we need to have secure and worthwhile children's ministry programming for their children. And so we're going to be changing our check-in stuff. That's going to be coming up here in March. So you're going to hear about that coming up here soon. But again, that's so that when a new family comes in, they feel safe dropping off their kids so that they can come in here and just so parents can be here. I've noticed a big difference between parents who drop off their kids, but you can tell they're kind of worried about their kids, or maybe they bring their kids in with them, and they're not able to really. So like, we want that so that mom and dad can come in and get Jesus in this way. So we're always looking for ways to make it better. Another cool thing we're adding on into our children's ministry is that we want to be able to focus on children with special needs. We have some special needs children that are becoming, and we want to make this a place where parents who have kids with special needs feel comfortable again bringing their children so that they can come in and hear about the love of Jesus for them. So if you have a heart for that, okay, if you have a heart for kids with special needs, we're going to be starting that. And so you can come find me or Mandy and talk to us about that. But we'll be getting more about that out there very, very soon. So that's children's ministry, adding on all kinds of cool stuff this year. But man, last year was a banner year for children's ministry and adding in, just making it a better environment for kids. Now we're going to talk about student ministry. Student ministry last year had a really cool event called the 30-hour famine. Now, I don't know if you remember what it was like being a teenager, but I do. I remember having that hollow leg that never seemed to get filled up with food, right? Do you remember that? Do you remember what it was like to be constantly hungry as a teenager? Have you ever sat down in front of a bunch of teenagers and tried to convince them to not to eat for 30 hours? That's insane. What kid wants to do that? What kid wants to go without food? That's like, it's like wake up, eat, and I don't play on my phone probably anymore. And then go to sleep and wake up and eat, and then, that's just kind of what life is, right? Well, Austin did a great job, and we got a bunch of students connected in this 30-hour famine. And so for 30 hours, these guys didn't eat anything. In fact, later on, they served in the special seniors, Young at Heart event, which we'll talk about here after a little bit. And they served, and it was just a great experience. Not just that, they have come to me asking to do it again. Again, teenagers. I can tell the difference between parents who have teenagers and those who don't just by the smiles on your face, right? The fact that a teenager would say, "Hey, Jeff, I want to not eat food for 30 hours again," just shows how beneficial this was to their everyday lives. So we're excited. Last year, another big event happened. This is a highlight, not like a yay highlight, but this is an important moment that happened. Our youth pastor, Austin Coon, took another job in Detroit. And so I took over student ministry, temporarily. That's what I did for 9 years before I came here. So I took on youth ministry as well as what I'm doing here. And I've been enjoying that time with the kids. And I don't know if you've ever been through a time when you lose one of your pastors, or if you ever lose a youth pastor in that way, it's really common for the attendance to drop. Because, the kids have made this relationship with their youth pastor. Their youth pastor is really important to them. And it's also common to actually lose your volunteers because your leader is gone. And again, student ministry is all about that relationship stuff. So it's hard when you lose your leader in that way. Well, the best part about our youth ministry is that we didn't lose any of our leaders. In fact, I got a slide for you. These people right here really are the best part of our student ministry right now. Okay, they have been showing up day in, day out. They have come every single Wednesday except for like a couple sicknesses. They have consistently shown up for these students. Even when there was a ratio of kids to adults like 1-to-1, they were consistently coming and pouring their lives into these students. And what's amazing is that the students that have stayed, the students that continue, they have been incredibly, consistent. I don't know why I missed that. They have been incredibly consistent in their attendance on Wednesday nights. Not just that, but they're bringing their friends, and their friends are starting to stick. So it's really cool to see how a bunch of adults, if they stick with it, if they keep coming even when it gets a little bit tough, the impact that it can make in the lives of those students. So I think, it's worth just saying thank you to these guys. So that's youth ministry. Just to let you know, we are in the process of looking for a new youth pastor. We do have some applicants that we're looking at. It is taking time because we're not just going to bring anyone in. We have had plenty of people apply, but we're looking for the perfect person, the right person for our students, someone who's going to be able to come in and grow with us as Hope Summit continues to grow. So we're excited for that. So when I have information on that, I'll be able to share it with you, but we're in process looking for that. We're going to look at our missions next. Now, missions here at Hope Summit Christian Church, when I say missions, I mean national and international missions, okay? Not just necessarily here in Rochester, but across our nation and across our world. We support a bunch of missions here at Hope Summit, and actually, if you go down the hallway there, you'll see a bunch of brochures, and you can pick up a missions brochure and actually see all the different missions that we support. And we've been wanting to put more emphasis on worldwide and national missions here at Hope Summit Christian Church. And so last October-ish, we had a special event where we had our missions emphasis weekend. And if you were here, you'll remember we put up these booths, and you could go back and visit these booths and find out about these missions. And then we had some of our missionaries here in town at that point. And what will probably stick out in your mind is during that weekend that we challenged you guys to raise $2,500 to help put a new roof on our missionaries' home in Zimbabwe, Africa. The rainy season was coming, and we showed you guys a bunch of pictures of these holes, big old holes, and all this water damage that had been caused by this rainy season. They needed $7,000. And so we said, we'll raise $2,500, and we combined with some other churches around town to raise up the money. I got some new pictures for you. Here's some pictures of that new roof going on, so we were able to raise the money because, church, you raised just over $6,000 to put this roof on. You raised almost $6,000. Yes. The goal was for us to raise $2,500. And you guys went far above and beyond, and which was wonderful because with the money that the other churches were able to raise, we were able to send them what they needed, plus a little bit extra to get some stuff done. So what's really cool is they're able to get through all these rainy seasons for a while now. One little note on that, interesting, it's almost ironic, they're actually going through a pretty serious drought right now. Okay, so we need you guys to be praying for them. Okay, we need your prayers. We need you to be praying for these guys. Ministry is tough enough down there, but man, when there's a drought, there's so many people in need. It's a difficult season right now, so be in prayer for our missionaries down there in Zimbabwe. But it's so cool that we got to be a part of that. Another thing that our missions team did was something that hadn't been done here a long time, is they did a big review of all the missions that we spent. Now, we try to send about 10%. Of everything that we get from you, we like to tithe ourselves and give that money to missions around the world and around our nation, okay? So we like to give about 10% of that away. Now, we want to make sure that every dollar that we are spending here is used to its best ability to making sure that we're completing the mission here at Hope Summit Christian Church, but also we want to make sure all the money that we send over to these missionaries is being spent so the kingdom of God can move forward. So the missions team did a pretty tough job where they did a big review of the missions, and that had an impact on how we're spending our mission money in 2016. So it's a tough job. It's not an easy job, but they did it. And so now every dollar that we spend, we're hoping will make a genuine impact on the kingdom of God in that way. And next up, we're going to look at our Young at Heart crew. Okay, that's a new name that we started up, Young at Heart, because it's not nice to say old people, which Ron Ramon, who was at the time, told me that. Don't say that anymore, Jeff. But I wasn't really saying that. So this is our seniors ministry. So we're talking 55 and up, 50, whatever. If you consider yourself to be in a senior crew, then they want to welcome you into that. They do all kinds of stuff throughout the week here. Again, we talked about how Gary is teaching a class on Sunday mornings, and Gary's a big deal for us from last year. Before Gary, we had a guy by the name of Ron Ordemann, which if you're not from Hope Summit, that doesn't mean a whole lot to you. But if you have history here at Hope Summit, Ron Ordemann was our senior pastor about 15 years ago. He did a great job here. He's very much loved and cherished by our church, because still is. And he was doing a great job with our seniors ministry, but he wanted to step back. And it's really hard, again, when you have a great leader that's loved and cherished by the people, who do you bring in to fill in that, to fill those shoes in that way? Well, Gary Craddock, who you saw at the end of the stage over here, he stepped up in a big way. He's been working really hard. He's been connecting with our people, and he's leading this ministry really, really well. So they're consistently meeting a community. One of my favorite things that they do is they show up here on Wednesday mornings, and they just have coffee. It's a simple community where they talk together, they catch up on each other's lives, they find out about the good things, the difficult things, they pray for each other. I enjoy it because they typically all like snacks and stuff, and I can go hang out with them or whatever. It's a fun time, but it's also really an intentional time because community here is very, very important to us. And we want to make sure that people are taken care of and that they're known, you know, that we know your name, we know who you are. And that seniors group is really important to that. Gary has some really cool plans. Again, I know we're looking backwards, but I can't get too excited about the stuff that's coming. Gary is going to be once a month having a special lunch and a special teaching time on Wednesday nights, okay? It's something that he was doing at another church that was very, very successful, so we're excited for what it's going to do here at Hope Summit Christian Church. Again, this is a Young at Heart thing, but again, if you're interested, they want you to know. If you're just like out and about on a Wednesday around 9 o'clock or so, you are welcome to come. In fact, I would encourage you to do it. They're a very loving group. It'd be great for you to get to know them, and they would be happy to host you. Just have some coffee, have some snacks, and get to know some people around here. So they want you to know. You don't have to be a senior to be a part of that. Anyone is welcome to join in that way, okay? So that's something that's really exciting that's happening. Again, last year, a really cool thing was they had our spring banquet, and they had about 70 people come to the spring banquet, and that's where the student ministry served during their 30-hour famine. If you really want to torture a student who's not eating, give them food to hand to someone else, right? And so it was real, but it was so cool to see this community happening between a group, two different groups that don't really connect with each other very often, okay? So that was a big deal for us. It was really, really great internal thing that we did last year. Now, some of you are hearing me say this. You're hearing me say, children ministry, student ministry, young at heart ministry. Jeff, where's like my middle age ministry or whatever? You know, like, where is that? And we want to make sure you guys know that when it comes to adults here at Whole Summit, when it comes to you, we really want to help you connect. Outside of Sunday mornings, we want to help you connect into some sort of community, and we want to help you serve. We want to help you find a place where you can give back. But community is a big deal to us. And you'll notice when you come into Hope Summit Christian Church, you don't hear us saying, like, we want you in a small group, we want you in a small group, we want you in a small group. I've worked at churches, I've seen lots of churches, but that's just the thing. How do we help disciple our adults? How do we help our adults connect with Jesus outside of Sunday mornings? Get them into a small group. Well, that's not us, okay? You might go into another church, and it's all about Sunday school. Sunday school, Sunday school. If you want to grow in your relationship with God and know Him more, you need to get to a Sunday school. I've seen other churches. There's a big church down in Las Vegas where their thing is, we got to get you into a mentorship relationship. Okay, who's your Timothy and who's your Paul? Who are you investing in and who's investing in you? And for them, it's all about getting into a mentor group, getting into a mentorship, you know. And you'll notice here at Hope Summit, we don't do that. We tell you, we want you to be in some sort of a community. Okay, this is what kind of sets Hope Summit apart from a lot of other churches. Okay, we believe that small groups are great, Sunday schools are great, mentoring is great, but we also know that some of you are not going to want to be in a small group. You're going to have a hard time connecting in an environment like that. Some of you are really never going to show up for a Sunday school. You don't want to be a part of a Sunday school. That's not something you're interested in. For some of you, being in a one-on-one relationship just sounds very intimidating, and that's not something that you're going to want to do. So what Rick and I did early in 2015 is we sat down and we started to say, okay, we're not going to make it about like this program of like this one way of doing life together. What we want to do is we want to put up some fencing, some boundaries in which community can exist in all kinds of forms here at Hope Summit Christian Church. So that if you're connecting with someone one-on-one, you're in community. If you're connecting in a small group, you're in a community. If you're connecting on Sunday morning, on a Sunday school, you're in community. It's just we want you to play by our rules in these boundaries. So I'm going to show these to you real quick here. Okay, this is, if you are doing these three things, and these pursuing these three things in your community, then you are a part of what we do here at Hope Summit Christian Church. Now, you notice I said that Rick was our cow pastor, right? Community outreach and worship. Well, he wanted to follow that as a part of how to encourage our groups to continue to connect with each other. Well, you need to have community inside of your community groups, like challenging each other, encouraging each other, praying for one another, having fun. That's kind of a big deal, right? I mean, you're not going to want to hang out with people that you don't like, right? I mean, who wants to go to a small group with a bunch of people that you can't really stand, right? I mean, and honestly, let's think about this practically. When people who are outside of our church look inside the church, they typically see us as very dry and very boring. Just like, well, your nose is always just in Bible. Guys, we need to help people see that when we get into community together, we're having fun, we're encouraging one another, we're getting into each other's lives, and we're enjoying each other. So each of our communities, whether you're meeting with someone one-on-one, you're in a small group type setting, or you're in Sunday school, we want you to connect to each other in these ways. But we want you to think outside of yourselves in that way. We want you to think bigger than that. We want you to think how you are together serving and loving on other people. So we just have this simple rule of thumb. If you're in community, we want you to be serving. We want you to serve together. Okay? How are you making an impact on the lives of other people together? You're going to connect with each other in your community groups in an amazing way when you love and serve other people. So we want all of our community groups to be able to consistently serve other people and make a difference in their lives. And then lastly, we want you to worship together. We want you to be praising God, and we want you to be maturing in your faith, digging into God's word. Otherwise we're just kind of hanging out unless we're doing these things. We want you to connect with each other in God's word. That's a big part of community around here. So big win for us in 2015 when it came for you guys is to stop saying like, well, this is the one way to do it, this is the way we're going to do it, and everyone needs to do it this way. If they're not doing it this way, then they're not going to get into a group around here. We wanted to just say, okay, here are the boundaries that we want you to play in. Okay, however you make community happen in there, that's what you're looking for. So the question you guys need to ask yourself is this. Do I have someone that's challenging me? Do I have someone that I'm serving with? Do I have someone that I'm maturing in my faith with Jesus with? If not, we want to help you do that. There are lots of different ways to get connected here in community at Hope Summit. And that's what Rick is for here. That's part of his job here, is to connect you in that way. So if you're interested, find the dapper looking guy in the red bow tie, okay, and tell him, hey man, I want that. I want to get connected in community. And that's there. Yep. We want you to connect you in that way to community here at Hope Summit as an adult. Now, something else that we have, obviously it's a big deal here at Hope Summit for adults, is our Sunday mornings. Now, Sunday mornings, of course, it's not really a church, right? I mean, if you can't, it'd actually be a church if you're not meeting on Sunday mornings, right? You know, so we are, we've been digging into how do we continue to make this better, and last year we saw a lot of cool things happen. One of the basic things that I know everyone looks for, and that every pastor always asks me, is, so how many people do you have in the church? Okay, so we have a graph here for you. If you're having trouble reading that, we actually have packets in the back there, right in front of the sound booth, and you can pick that up, and it has all these numbers and all these graphs and stuff. That's all available for you in that packet, and we'd love for you to be able to pick that up and take it home with you. Last year was really kind of a regrouping time for Hope Summit Christian Church. Back in 2014, former pastor here, his name was Frank, left to go to another church in Florida. And when you lose your senior pastor, I don't know if you've ever been through that at your church, when you lose leadership like that, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it was for good reasons, awkward, whatever, whenever you lose leadership like that, it takes a toll on the church. Okay, and so 2014 was a difficult year for Hope Summit Christian Church. And what's cool is that 2015, we got new leadership in here, and we got new direction from the elders, which again we'll talk about here in just a little bit. We got new direction from the elders, and what we see in our attendance is that throughout the year, what we see is an 8% bump in our attendance, which is pretty cool. In fact, again, if you've ever been at a church that's lost its leadership, okay, the following year is typically a tough year. The following year is typically a year that you really don't see much change. Guys, in the midst of it, we saw 8% of raise, which is pretty great, considering everything that Hope Summit's been through. Normally, you kind of expect a church to just kind of just try to heal and get past that. But guys, we didn't see that. You guys kind of got back up and started running. And you started inviting your friends. You started inviting your neighbors. We're seeing them come, and they're seeing them stay because they found that Jesus is here. You know, they're getting connected in that way. That's fantastic, guys. We had 15 baptisms last year where people came in and they're making decisions for Jesus. We had 25 new members join us, which is fantastic. People came in and they decided that church, the Hope Summit wanted to be a part. They wanted to be a part of Hope Summit, that this was their church, this was their church family, and so they were able to join us. And so we saw 25 new people added on, which is so cool. Considering everything that the church has been through, in a year's time to see that kind of growth is just fantastic. And so I got to say thank you to you guys, because you were a big part of that. You guys continue to push. You continue to serve and help out. You continue to give. You continue to invite your friends and encourage them to be here. And so you are seeing us just in a kind of a cool growth pattern right now, which is very, very exciting. Last year we also started something that I know personally I've enjoyed just because it's a big part of my job. But we started a series called He Changed Everything. We started looking at the life of Jesus, and we've been going through the life of Jesus chronologically. Again, this is something that you don't see a lot of churches doing today. A lot of churches, you come in, there's kind of like a 4-week series here and a 5-week series here and all this. And as I was seeking after God in late 2014 and asking God, what do you want for our church? What do you want for Hope Summit Christian Church? What I kept continually coming back to is that Hope Summit needs to be anchored in the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ. Over and over. It is about my son. Help them to see my son in a new light. And what's so cool is when you dig into the scripture, little story by little story, you start to see the whole thing in its context. And it brings a lot of richness to the scriptures that sometimes we just blast through. I've had some people come and tell me, he's like, man, Jeff, I've been in church my whole life and I never thought about it that way. I've never seen that scripture in that light. Well, that's because we've slowed down and we've been digging into this series little by little. And I'm here to tell you guys, we're not halfway through the life of Christ yet. And it's been a year. I asked around. I did. I'm like, man, this is nuts because I've never done this before. I've never worked in a church that did something like this before. So I kind of started to panic a little bit, like, man, are people getting tired of this? Are we getting bored? What's going on? You know, so I started asking around, and asking leadership, and asking people. And you know what's amazing is people kept telling me, no, Jeff, I don't want it to stop. I hope it keeps going and keeps going. And so what's cool is that 2016, one of the things that you can expect from us is that we're going to just continue in the story of Jesus Christ. It's really cool to see how he affects everything in our lives, how he changes everything in our lives. And one of my favorite parts about all this is that, you know, typically a church will do these sermon series because there's certain things they want to address in their church. There's certain things that they want their people to be able to grow in and learn about God with. What's so cool is that we've had those moments, like we've had special events or we've had, you know, different priorities that we would really love for our church to grab a hold of in their personal spiritual lives. But what's amazing is that we decide, man, we really need to talk about this. So we kind of set a date for, or we have a special event. So we set a date for the special event. And it's really cool to see how the scriptures just like meet up perfectly with the seasons that we're in. Time and time again, I've been like, wow, I couldn't have picked this to be a better story for what we're talking about today, what we need to talk about today. So it's just been really cool to see how, guys, I can't plan that stuff. I'm not smart enough to make it happen. It's not like I've been perfectly, you know, getting our seasons of ministry and the scriptures together perfectly. I literally opened up my Bible and went, oh, that's what we're going to do in a couple of weeks. Hey, yeah, we need to talk about that. That's awesome. So it's just been really cool to celebrate with God how he's shown up in the midst of the series. And that series has been vital to Hope Summit Christian Church because of this last part of something we want to review here, 2015. In 2015, starting at the beginning of the year, the elders and I sat down and we started discussing what God wanted us to be, where he wanted Hope Summit to go. What is our purpose here in our existence about here in Rochester, Minnesota? What has he called us to do? Now, I don't know what kind of churches you've been to, but I'll tell you what, there are all kinds of things that you can spend your time and your energy on. There are all kinds of hills that a church can pursue and live on and die on. You know, there's so many different things that we can focus in on. And so the elders started this process of praying and saying, hey, God, what is it for us? What does it look like for Hope Summit Christian Church to follow you and to seek you out? And what is it you want us to do? And that's when we came up with our vision statement that's on the wall there. As you walk out of the door, just look to your right. But our vision statement of that we are just simply living to love and glorify Jesus. We're just living to love and glorify Jesus. That's what this whole thing is about. You were made for a relationship with God. You were made to have a relationship with God. Because of our sin, we were separated from God. See, God is holy. God is perfect. God has no fault inside of him. And God set us up with these boundaries of how he wants us to live our lives. But when we stepped outside of that, we stepped away from a holy God. We stepped outside of love and of light and of life. And that's why, you know, if we're separated from God, that's why death is involved in our lives. That's why death comes into our lives. And so this vision statement about living to love and glorify Jesus is simply a statement of what we are going to spend all of our time helping you do. We want you to have this relationship with Jesus. We want you to know him. Now, he knows you and he loves you. We want you to get to know him, to fall in love with this Creator. We want you to know when you're involved with difficulties in your life, how he's there with you. When you're involved with great things in life, how he's there with you. When you're making plans and you're dreaming about your future, how he's there with you. How in the past, before you ever knew him, how he was there with you. We want you to know Christ and have a relationship of love with him. Because we know that as you love Jesus, you will start to love people the way that he does. You'll see how much he loves you, and you'll see how much he loves everyone around you. So as you connect with the heart of Christ, you will start loving people around you in a different way. It's just a natural part of this relationship with him. And when you start loving other people the way that Jesus loves you, then they will see you and they will say, something is different about that guy. What is different about that girl? And that gives you an opportunity to share about how much Jesus loves you personally. And when you do that, Jesus is glorified in your life. This is half the reason we exist. We want to have a relationship with him. That's the first part. But then so that he might be glorified, so that all people would know of his love for us. So when you come to Hope Summit Christian Church, as you come here in 2016, you can expect us to challenge you to be living to love and glorify Jesus more and more. This kind of a vision statement really helps us focus on what we're spending our time on, what we're spending our money on, how we're spending our energy. If it's not helping you love Jesus more and glorify him in your life, then we're just not going to do it. It allows us to focus in our church on the most important thing. And every week here at Hope Summit Christian Church, we take communion. Now, I know a lot of churches do that, but we try to continue to make communion a very important and central part of our worship service. You see, on Sunday mornings when you come in here, you're going to get passed every single week this little piece of bread and this little cup of juice. Now, we stop and we do that every single week, not because it's like the religious right thing to do. It's not because that's what churches are supposed to do. We stop and we do communion every single week and we talk about it because we want you to recognize that Christ needs to be central in your life, your individual life. How is he centered in my life? He's central in our worship services as an example that he'd be central in our personal lives every single day, every single week. He's the center of all things. So we're going to be taking communion here in just a moment. Something that we do again every single week here. We're going to be taking communion. I want to challenge you guys on this part. I want you to look back at your week, or even just look over the last couple of days. I want you to ask yourself a real simple question. Have I been living to love and glorify Jesus? Is Christ central in my life? Is he that thing that everything else in my life orbits? If he's not, I want to ask you or challenge you, just come back. Come back next week. Come join us again. Because you can expect from us that every single week we're going to try to help you do it better the next time. Every single week we're going to encourage you to make him a little bit more central in your life, to make him a little bit more important so that in our everyday walking around life, Jesus Christ is central. So while we take communion, think about that. Has Christ been the center of my life? Again, if not, then just come back. I'd love to have you. Let's pray for our communion. Father, thank you for this day, and I thank you for all the great things you've been doing here at Hope Summit. Father, I was just so grateful that you would send your son for me. I deserve to die. I deserve to be separated from your love. Your son didn't. He didn't do anything wrong. Jesus, I thank you for toeing the line, for coming and facing sin the way that I did, but the temptations the way that I did, but you didn't fall into it. Thank you for taking my death upon yourself on the cross. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us through the cross. It's in your name we pray. Amen. here in a moment, they're going to be taking our offering, and our offering isn't necessarily something we spend a whole lot of time talking about, but it's Vision Sunday. We've got to talk about it a little bit here. I know that when we start talking about money at the church, I know there's people out there that are constantly groaning and saying, well, there goes the preacher trying to make for his paycheck again. I need to help you understand one really important thing here, okay? You don't provide for me, okay? Don't. God has shown up in my life time and time and time again when I've been in need. And he has provided in many other ways outside of a paycheck. God is faithful to me, to his promises, that he will provide. Okay, and so I just want you to know, when we talk about money, and we're going to be talking about it later on in the year, because we haven't talked about finances and that kind of stuff in a few years around here, I just want you to know that when we do that, it is not because we're worried about money around here. It's not. We do not talk about money in a reactionary way. And we talk about money because what God has for you is so much greater than what he wants from you. What God has for you is so much greater than what he wants from you. We talk about money because we want to help you take a practical step of faith with God in your life. And I want you to do that. I can spend up here the rest of the time talking about this. That God has so many great plans in store for you. I've met so many people. Time and time and time and time again, who started trusting God with their finances and how he showed up in amazing ways in their lives. And I want that for every single one of you. Okay, so they're going to take the offering here in just a moment. Since we're on the subject of money, you guys can come on forward and take the offering now. Since we're on the subject, our budget. What's really cool about 2015's budget is that we made budget. People, we made budget. That's a big deal, right? I mean, yes, so we start to clap. Hope someone hasn't necessarily met budget in a while now. Just so you know, just because you don't meet budget doesn't mean you spend what you don't have. Remember, budget is making your best possible guess and wanting to, you know, deciding what ministry you want to accomplish that year and then putting out that budget in that way. And so we made budget last year. It's fantastic. We made it plus some. So we're in the black, and that's amazing. And what's really cool, something I wanted to show you, is that last year, we tried to give at least 10%. We tried to have our own little tithe towards ministries outside of Hope Summit Christian Church. Well, every dollar that was given to us last year on Sunday mornings or throughout the week, we were able to give 15% of what we brought in to give out to other people. That's a big deal. I can see on some of your faces that doesn't seem like a big deal, but I'll tell you something. When you're in a church that has for many years not been in the black, who consistently come behind in budget, and you are able, after a difficult season in that church, to come out the next year in the black and give away 15% of what we brought in, that's a big deal. So thank you, church. You stepped up in a big way to give. Guys, I just want to tell you, we're starting to run out of time here, so I'm going to wrap this up real fast. Guys, I want you to know that we have great plans for next year. Okay, we're trying to help you be living to love and glorify Jesus. We do that in three ways. Okay, we do this in three ways. Through personal disciplines, through intentional relationships, and expressing your faith and love. This is how we're going to help you be living lives that are loving and glorifying Jesus in your life. Okay, we help you in your personal disciplines. Those are things that you do at home by yourself. Okay, outside of Sunday morning, how are you connecting with God? We know that as we help you do that through prayer, through study, and through all these things, that we know that you are going to love him more. And as you love him more through your disciplines, you will glorify him as you get to know him more. So we want to help you in your personal disciplines. We want to help you with intentional relationships. We want to connect you in communities that will encourage you and challenge you and pray for you and live life with you so that you can be living to love and glorify Jesus more. And we want to constantly offer ways for you to express the faith that you found in God in love to other people. Because we know that Christ will be glorified as you express your faith and love. So 2016, we spent some time as a staff, a couple months as a staff, looking at this new vision statement that was given to us by the elders, and we said, okay, how are we going to fulfill this in our church? How are we going to help you fulfill these three things, these personal disciplines, intentional relationships, and expressing your faith and love? How are we going to do this together? So we spent some time, and really just we built up a whiteboard with all the different ways that we could possibly imagine that could help you as a church fulfill these in your personal lives at home, you know, these disciplines? How are we going to help you? So we kind of underlined a bunch of them, just asking God, what is the big things we need to spend time on? So I'm excited to tell you that in three new ways this year, 2016, you can expect us to help you fulfill these three things in your life. When it comes to personal disciplines, we're going to be really spending a lot of time in prayer. We're going to be spending a lot of focus on prayer. We want to help you connect with your Father in Heaven on a personal level with that, in that relationship, as you pray with Him. We're going to have an event in April, a special prayer night here. We're going to have National Day of Prayer will be in May, and we're going to focus on that. But more importantly, we're really excited about this. In August, we're going to spend a lot of time in August helping you focus in on prayer. We came up with all kinds of these cool ideas on how to connect people in their personal life in prayer. So we're putting all of our eggs in one basket in August, and we're going to be doing a bunch of stuff. So hopefully by the end of this 30-day challenge of prayer in August, or is it 31 days? Anyway, it doesn't matter. By the end of that time, we're going to help you connect. Hopefully by the end of that, we have a church of people that are intentionally praying more in their personal life. So we're real excited to do that. In this intentional relationship, we're going to be putting a lot more emphasis on celebrating community around here. We want to celebrate how God is moving in the connections of people in our church right now. So we're going to be celebrating that this year. The last one is the one I really want to get to. And when it comes to expressing our faith and love, how are we going to help you express your faith and love? Well, we're going to put a big emphasis on one life. Okay, one life is a simple concept. Who in your life is that? Who's that one person in your life that is far from Christ? Who is that one person that you know that unless they see Jesus in your life, unless you have a chance to tell them about the love of Jesus that you found, no one else is going to do it. They're not going to show up to church. They're not interested in hearing this guy Jeff, okay? They don't care about him. Who's the one person in your life that unless you tell them or show them Jesus, they're just not going to hear about them? Now, I know this is a scary concept, okay? I know this is a scary concept. It's been many, many times that when I talk about this, I can just see it on your faces. It's kind of funny. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. But I can see when I start saying, hey, you need to tell your friends about Jesus, like your insides go, what? You're the preacher, man. Isn't that your job? What? You want me to? I don't know if I can do, you know. I understand the tension of that. I do. So what we've decided to do is we're going to help you learn what it means to personally evangelize the people. We're going to have a personal evangelism class. I know maybe I'll come up with a better name because that sounds kind of boring and whatever. But here's, I'm really excited about this. Okay, this is something that I'm developing with a good pastor friend of mine at the church that I used to work at. That's a big old church. They have like four campuses and stuff like this. We're going to be working with them and coming up with this personal evangelism class so that we can help you push aside some of the fears that naturally come with the word evangelize. Okay, we're going to help you push aside some of the fears of like, I don't know if I can tell people about Jesus. We're going to help you go through the process of how actually easy it is for you to sit down and work out your personal testimony. You don't have to debate with them to convince them to follow Jesus. You just have to show them how He has changed your life. We're going to help you work through that process. We're going to help you work through the process of being able to pull out a little napkin and write out on there a little drawing to show people how Jesus takes away the sins of the world. We're going to help you do these things so that, again, this is something we're going to develop. We're just going to do consistently around here. And we're just going to have, throughout the year, we're just going to have a few of these classes that you can join when it fits your schedule best so that you can learn how to make an impact on that one life. The moment that Jesus gives you that opportunity to share His love with that friend, we want to be able to equip you so that when that moment comes, you're ready and confident to tell them about how great Jesus' love is. So we're going to help you. These are things that you can expect from us. There's a lot more we've been working on, but we're kind of out of time today, so I got to let you go. Okay, but there's one last thing I want to say real quickly, okay? Real quickly. When a church has been through the season that it's been, okay, the following year, 2015, is a year to kind of everyone get back up on their feet. And I've been really asking around, lots of different people, what do you think of Hope Summit? Are you enjoying your time here? Is it making an impact on your life? And people continue to say, yes, I love this church. I feel like home at this church. People treat me like family at this church. I'm really learning here at this church. My heart is connecting with Christ more at this church. And that's great. So what we've seen in 2015 really is a very healthy season at Hope Summit Christian Church. In my experience as a pastor, what I've noticed is that in the healthy seasons of ministry, that's typically when people hit the coast button. And things are fine. Things are finally good, especially after a difficult season. When things get good, right? When you've been driving through a rainstorm or a snowstorm, and you get out to the other side and it's sunny and nice, what do? Right? You hit the coast. Oh, I can kind of relax here a little bit, right? I want to challenge you something. Don't coast, church. Don't coast. Let's keep pushing. There's a natural, when you're in difficult times, there's this natural thing where you're going to push forward. And the success that we've seen over 2015 really is a big part of the fact that you guys continued to push because things were difficult and you needed to. I want to challenge you, now that things are great, don't hit the coastline. Keep pushing. We have so much more that we want to do. We have so many more things that we want to accomplish around here. There are so many more people out there who need to know the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And guys, if we hit the coast button, we're going to lose our opportunity to make an impact in that way. We need you guys to continue to buckle up and to hit the gas. We need you to continue to serve. We need you to continue to give. We need you to continue to invest intentionally in the lives of other people around you, because there is so much more that we want to do. And I want to promise you something. It will be worth it. When you see someone dipped in the waters of baptism and you recognize that their heart has been saved from eternal separation from God, you will recognize that it's worth it. When we find out about the stories of the marriages that are going through the worst of times and that through Jesus Christ their marriage has been saved, you know it will be worth it. When we find out about a kid in our student ministry who's struggling with their sexual identity, instead of struggling with making their sexual part of their lives their identity, they make Christ the center of their lives, and when they make Jesus their identity, you know that it will be worth it. I promise you, church, what we have for you in this next year is worth it, but we need you to not coast. Hit the gas. Come with us. Join with us. Continue to push. Continue to serve. Continue to give. Continue to give your best to Jesus. Avoid the temptation of coasting because things feel good. God's got a lot for us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and for your love. Change our hearts to know you more. I pray that we would be living more and more every day, be living to love and glorify you in our lives. Help us not to coast. Jesus, push us forward. Continue to challenge us. Don't let us get comfortable. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you are a member and you received a ballot, you can place your ballot in the basket in the back. We thank you all for coming, and we'll see you next week.
get one?
Can you tell me, so, like, how is Jeff?
Well, I think that there is not a, if you look at First Peter, is considered a minister.
Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about somebody telling you where to go, man.
Hectic, epic. have one of these.
Hey, we're over there.
I mentioned, what's your name?
Thank you.
I put a question mark in my and he didn't have a red sweater on.
I don't have special.
I know he does. Yeah, I gotta be a tiger with Jake playing basketball. I got the sweatpants, and I got the t-shirt, and the sweatshirt.
The one I got is I like
the front guard. Yeah, there it is.
We're cooking heavy. You want to be nice.
Did I already answer that question? I said, I don't think you need it right now. What do you think that is? Is that a yes or a no? That's a nice no.
That's a maybe later, Dan.
Does that ever work? No.
I mean, it's just mush. You know, the word mush is in there.
That's why we don't ask him anymore. So we just show up.
And then he shows up.
And then he comes and joins you, exactly. Because he knows he would like it if he did it, but he just doesn't like doing things initially.
Dude, we got...
I'm tricking the coming.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That would help, but he doesn't go out of the house.
She doesn't come in?
Well, she'd have to get on the Well, he didn't want to listen for a little while, but yeah, I don't know.
No.
I never knew her.
He hasn't really
had. Yeah, he's never had come for a I knew he said somebody did something for a show.
I
thought he said, but he didn't really tell me. It was a long time ago.
He said he lost that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it was middle school or high school.
It was high school.
Yeah. Who was it?
So, I remember the girl.
No, I figured, because he blew it off. The thing he had to do is, like, he would have blown anything up in a bigger song.
He's a wise old man.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, well, yeah.
He's just mature. He's just mature.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he just, and a lot of the detail of having
to do it.
I have time and time again.
That's true. Right. Very picky. Yeah. The thing is, whatever, it's cheaper that way. Which are awesome, and I love one just like that. He's got that martini Williams hat.
The white stripey one.
He's got one of those.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.